All right. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over, that is, before they crossed Jordan. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. So follow the ark, follow the Lord, follow the presence of the Lord, because you don't know where you're going. You haven't passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Getting ready for wonders. You've not passed this way before. I'm addicted to Christ. An addict is someone who is dependent on something else. Totally, completely given over to that. Well, I'm addicted to Christ. And to be quite honest, when I don't get a hit, I feel like I need Christ. Christ Himself said, I'm the way, and without me, you can do nothing. Is that right? Without me, you can do nothing. I really hate religion. And honestly and truly, I'd rather be at Joe's Bar than in a church house that's going through nothing but ritual without the presence of the Lord. I know some of you that are very religious might not agree with that, but that's okay. At least in the bar, you'll find something unusual all the time. But church can be very boring. I often think about in the Old Testament where they were killing all those animals and offering all that blood up, and they did that every year, and they did it over and over. How boring that must have been. But when Jesus came, the true Lamb of God, then things got really exciting, right? He put away sin. I'm not one much for holding the fort. I'm a guy that likes to charge and go new places and get new highs. I've been told that the addict's first high is the best one. But that's not true with Christ. When God saves you and you're high on knowing that your sins have been forgiven, always remember this. That's no stopping place. We need to go higher and higher and higher. The Apostle Paul said, I'm praying for you that you might be filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
Filled with the fullness of God. I don't know that I've ever experienced that, but I'm going to tell you this. I want to. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, I want it all. Be full of God. A lot of us are full of a lot of things. But I want to be full of God, don't you? I want to know my God is real and alive and vital. I want to experience God. The little word I made up, phantasmatical. It means literally, what I mean by that is a rush. God rushing toward me where I see Him in His largeness and greatness, and feel Him and know His presence. Your greatest problem and my greatest problem is that often in our lives we go for days without experiencing God. I want to experience God every day. Every day. When I get up every morning, it's one of the first things I think of. I want to experience God today. Show me something great. Show me something awesome today. I mean, I love the little tornado that came through. Nobody got hurt. And we got $30,000 worth of groceries. And that puts me in a praise mode. The apostle said things like this. Oh, that you might know the height and the depth and the width. To know the breadth of the love of God, which passes knowledge. He said, I want you to know that, but you can't because it passes knowledge. But I want to be right in the middle of that. How about this? I mean, do you live every day this way? Our God is able. That's good. That's good. I know that. But I like this. To do. Oh, He's a working God. He's a right on time God. He's an active God. He's a moving God. He's a conquering God. Our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above exceedingly and abundantly, all that we ask. Let your mind go wild in asking God. Or think. You ever just sit around and think about what God could do? What God is able to do in your life? Christians are such whiners, aren't we? We shouldn't be whiners. Our God is able. And that's the God I want to know, and that's the God I want to experience. We've come out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of slavery and bondage. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm a saved sinner. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be either. We wandered in the wilderness. Any of you got saved and then wandered in the wilderness? Went right back out there in the wilderness. Eating those cucumbers and garlic that you had down in Egypt. Making bricks. Somebody says, it's so hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a crackhead. Let me tell you, it's not easy to be a drug addict. Is it an easy life? You know it's not. It's not an easy life. And on top of that, this is for those of you who aren't drug addicts, but you haven't had experience with that, but you've been in religion all your life. It's hard to live in this world. That's right. The drug addict's not the only one who has problems. Would you agree? We're all addicts in here. Life's tough. But how horrible it is without an experience with God on a daily basis. Hard to make it through. And really, that's why many Christians have turned to the false gods, right? Life was unbearable, so you just took an artificial high. But you don't have to do that. If you want to feel clean and high and wonderful and have a joy that passes understanding in your heart, you can have that in Jesus Christ. Some of us have never crossed Jordan, and that's what Joshua was talking about. He said, we're about to cross Jordan. We're about to go where you have never gone before. And usually the first thing that happens and sets in is fear. The only thing fear and faith have in common is they both begin with F. How about this? I can do all things through Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ. So, the Lord, I believe here, is about to take us over Jordan. It's going to be a new thing. Some of you are going, I'm not crossing. We've never been there before. I'm going to tell you this now beyond doubt. Clutch cargo is ours. Say, well, how do you know that? I know that by faith. I'm absolutely positive now. It's been growing on me, but I'm there now. Now, I believe I'm prepared, but I don't know whether some of you are. See, we got $1 million we need out there in front of us. I mean, to really get that place fixed up, get it ours, get it in our name. How many believe that's going to happen? That's good. That's even more proof it's going to happen. We believe. that our God is able. Think about what that would mean to this city. That thing's been a bar for 15 years. Old congregational church building. Now we're going to get inside that thing. We're going to own that thing. We're going to slick it up on the outside and on the inside. Instead of dark and ugly and the smell of liquor in there, there's going to be the sweet smell of the presence of God in that place. Think about what the world's going to say. Think about what Pontiac's going to say. Think about the jaw-dropping that's going to happen in this city when we get that. It's going to be a testimony where even the heathen are going to say, hey, the Lord has done great things for them. And we're going to be happy about it. So we haven't crossed over Jordan, but we're getting ready to go across. You know, that first step of putting your toe in the water, where are you going? We're going across. And you need backing for that, too. I don't want to look around and y'all be 500 yards behind me. We need to begin to cry out, if you're not, as an individual, show me thy way, O Lord. And you being a part of this church, having been born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, now God is saying we're going over Jordan. And it takes us collectively, by faith, to take those steps. Say, well, Pastor, do you have even close to a million? Not even close. But by faith, it's in sight. I can see it. I can see it. I know this too. God isn't going to just hand us $1 million. I know people out there that have it and probably will help, but I'm going to tell you this. He expects you to give your dime if you made a dollar this week. He expects you to put your pennies in the bucket. I don't care if you collect pop cans, put them in the, we might have to get a bigger bucket, but everybody in here can help buy that building. In fact, we all have to be in it. I will not render unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. We're working on selling the Hummer. You know, that's not just something. I want to lead you. Listen, take something kind of precious to you and give it to the Lord. Something that costs you. Something that you feel a little pain. You know, when I'm driving around that Volkswagen in January and there's 8 feet of snow on the ground, that's not going to be a lot of fun. That's going to cost me a little bit. Do you get what I'm saying? Find out. You have some kind of collection that's worth, you know, $5,000? Sell it. Hey, the man has lost his mind. I told you, we're going over Jordan. And what God demands, God provides. Yeah. And listen, you don't have to write a big check. If one diamond ring is all you got, that's all you have and you give it all, that's all you have of any value, or if you only have a penny, but it's all you've got, and you give it to the Lord, it's the same thing as giving $1 million, right? In fact, you may be more blessed because you gave all you could. The millionaire is going to give us, say, $1 million, but he's got 8 million left. You give all you have. The Lord, that's honorable to the Lord, right? Amen. Find new ways of giving. Learn to give. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. You do the same. I guarantee you, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. I dare you, double dog dare you to try it. Just make up your mind, I'm going to outgive God. And do it privately. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. The only reason I tell a lot of things is because I want you to know that I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do myself. No leader should ask other people to do what he or she will not do. Is that right? We set the example. Follow me as I follow the Lord. So I want us to think about that. We're getting ready to go over Jordan. Therefore, it's important to maintain faith. Faith. You know, many times you've been defeated out of fear. And I guarantee you this. When you fall, What you need to ask God for is faith. Lord, let me trust you. Trust God. This too shall pass. Joy comes in the morning. Vigorous faith. And I've told you this thousands of times in 33 years. If I was going to ask God for one thing, it would be more faith. I want to trust Him more. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Some of you self-prophesy. I've seen this over and over in this church. Some of you are just not used to success. I'm going to talk more about that in a few minutes. He glorifies God most whose faith staggers least. It's dishonoring to our God when faith falls to a low ebb. God's saying, trust me. And your faith falls to a low ebb. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Yes. Some of you are just suspicious of spiritual attainments. You're suspicious. I don't know whether that's real or not. I don't know whether I have everlasting life or not. Somebody said, I've been saved 3 times. No, you only got saved 1 time. What happened was your faith got weak and you wandered around in the wilderness some more. That's right. And then fear set in. Do you have full assurance? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Full assurance. I'm saved, saved, saved. Saved to new heights sublime. Amen? Amen. You know, you see the grapes on the vine, but you can't see that the juice is in the glass. And therefore, your faith droops. See, in my mind, I see us not meeting here. I see us meeting a block up the street. In my mind, I see this a women and children's shelter. In my mind, I see that. You know what we all love to do? You ever seen an old hen get on her nest? And it's very difficult to get her off her nest. She's just sitting there. She begins to sing, kind of. And to rout her, you got to go in there and literally, you know, move her. That's where some of us are. We've made our nest. Nice little Grace Gospel Fellowship Church with about 200 people. And we're... And then some rogue preacher comes along and says, we're moving to the bar. We dread the unknown tomorrow. We dread tomorrow. Tomorrow just scares me to death. You know, I look forward to tomorrow. What's God going to do tomorrow? I had no idea we were going to get $30,000 worth of meat and cheese and groceries. And as soon as I heard, I said, thank God. What an exciting Saturday. God at work. Some of you have grown used to the wilderness. I see this with some of you who are addicted to drugs. I see this. You get all better. And then it doesn't seem right. I'm paying my bills. Something wrong with that. I'm being successful. That can't be. I just feel uncomfortable. I need to go out and get me a rock. You know, just to kind of settle my nerves. Listen, on Christ the solid rock you stand. It's all right for you to be more than a conqueror. It's all right to be clean. It's all right to have money in your pocket. It's all right to own a house. You've been saved. You fear success. God made you and born you again and gave you gifts and talents and abilities. Amen. I preached it right out of him. Now that we got the bucket here and money in the bucket, anytime you get ready, it won't bother me. Some of you got used to the stench of your own body odor living out there in that mess. And because you smell like dial now, you think something's wrong. You have nice clothes and a clean house and drive a car and you're not eating out of dumpsters. That's good. Some of us get just so suspicious of spiritual attainments. Holy courage and brave reliance on God, fervent zeal, confidence in prayer, unspeakable joy. It just doesn't seem right to be happy. Just doesn't seem right. Christ is so much greater than crack. Some of you have this fear when it comes to new doctrine. People come in here to this church and they see what Grace Centers is doing, our baby over there, Grace Centers of Hope, and see what the ministry's doing. And then they say, I'm going to go over there to church and hear Clark preach. And then I preach a good hot sermon on election and predestination. Ha! Wait a minute, I've never heard that before in my life. See, you're afraid to go over Jordan. It's time for some of you to quit drinking milk. The preacher's had the baby bottle, and you haven't come to full joy. Full joy is knowing this. Hey, I didn't come to him. He came to me. Hey, Christ wasn't lost. I didn't find him. He found me. He called me. He saved me. And then you begin to see, I was down there in Lodibar. But before he formed me in my mother's belly, he already loved me. And before I came forth from the womb, he'd already set me aside. And he sent the hound of heaven after me, down to my Lodibar, and brought me out. Some of us find out that we'd rather, like Jonah, go to Tarshish than bear testimony for God in the streets of Nineveh. Contrary to the course of faith, if God tells me to go to Nineveh, I go to Nineveh. Sometimes following God makes no sense, at least to the flesh. But you know, when I came to Michigan, I was living on a nice farm, had just built Miss Pam a nice 5,000 square foot brick house. We were building a new church, and it just didn't make sense to leave that and come to 13 people in a family room on Hamilton Court. Didn't make sense. But I couldn't wait to get here. There was something inside of me. Couldn't wait to get here. And I kept telling the Lord we were building a new church building and just couldn't move. I just couldn't leave right in the middle of that, so he sent a tornado and blew it down. That happened, didn't it? That happened. Ask Miss Pam. Got that thing framed up all nice. I'm still hanging on to, no, I can't go to Michigan. I can't go to Michigan. Wanting to go to Michigan, but I can't go to Michigan. And a tornado came and blew it down. I said, I'm going to Michigan. You see, our God is a God of plan and purpose. I had the most wonderful thing happen on WMUZ radio this week. Chris, the announcer on the morning show, said, Pastor, before we talk, I need to ask you a theological question. He said, and I was thinking, what on earth is he going to ask me? He said, you know, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He said, it seems like that is kind of a special bunch of people. Oh, he shouldn't have asked that question. And we had a wonderful time, and I wonder how many radio listener calls that he got. But God has a people that no man can number. They're not just a few people. Not just a few people. But a number that no man can number. God has planned and purposed and determined to save them by His grace. Say, well, now, Pastor, I believe in whosoever will. I do, too. I don't believe in whosoever won't. The question is, whosoever will, where do you get the will? How come you're willing and others aren't? It's God who makes us willing in the day of His power. You see, a higher power has brought you to where you are. You ever think about this? God has gone before you and brought you here. You don't have to worry what's over Jordan. God's already been there. And God's been mapping this life of yours out. It's no accident that you are here today. God's providence never places us in the wrong place or position. You are here by appointment. My times are in His hands. Thank God, Pastor. I'm getting older, too. I fell out of bed this week. First time I've ever fallen out of bed. Sound asleep, rolled over, and the next thing, I'm laying on my side in the floor. I was looking around trying to figure what happened. What hit me? And then, yesterday, I was going to wedding rehearsal out at, is it Canterbury? And I was going to turn in there. I thought I was getting in the turn lane. I was getting in the lane of traffic. This guy came around the corner at 60 miles an hour and was weaving all over the place to miss me. You know what? I think that's old age. I'm not sure. Those two things. But I know this. I'm in the hands of God. Whatever happens, whatever He's got planned, that's all going to work out. I'm going to stay on the right side of the road, though. And you may find yourself in the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in the furnace. But you know what? God was in there too. My times are in His hands. You know, the truth is, if it was better for you to be in heaven right now, you'd be there. Isn't that good to know? If it was better for me, because God is working everything for my good. You see, the fact that I'm here means He's not through with me. Right? I hope you believe that. I hope you know that. Infinite, unspeakable, boundless love arranges our pathway. So whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. God's right in the middle of it. God's all over it if you're His. He's working it all out. You may be very confused, but God's in control. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our present pathway may be new to us, but it's not new to your God. Everything that happens today or will happen tomorrow, it may be new to us because we only live in the present. You understand that? We only live in the present, but all things are present to the eye of God. Tomorrow, there is no such thing with tomorrow with God. He sees everything at once. Is that right? That's how big our God is. There's no tomorrow with God. There's no manana with God. It's today. It's now. It's always. It's present. God sees your beginning and the ending of your life. God sees it all now, and that's good to know. No such thing as yesterday with God. Past, present, future. These are all human terms. These are all human terms. God is looking down upon all things at once. Do you know God never has an emergency? God never has an emergency. God is never surprised. God is never shocked. And God is never at the end of His resources. God has never given up. You give up, but God doesn't give up on you. And some of you in here are licking your sores right now. But just remember this, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Some of you have got to the place where you should be, really, feeling you're no good, that God is good, you're no good, and God has saved you by His grace and His unmerited favor. And you need to know He that began a good work in you will complete it. So, you know, I may give up on you. Others may give up on you. But if you're God's, He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's you read this chapter 3 of Joshua, and I love it so much because the whole chapter is taken up with this. The Lord said unto Joshua, and then it says this, and Joshua said unto the people. Now, whether you like it or not, you've got to put up with the preacher. And here at Grace Gospel, it's not a deacon board. It's a pastor and elders. And God speaks to us. And God leads us. And then it's our duty to say to you, thus saith the Lord. Let's go get the bar. Here's a great lesson to be learned. And it's in the song. 'Tis mine to obey. 'Tis His to provide. It's true. All right, we're going. We're going. Get ready, Tom. I got some ideas about that stage in there and how I want it to look. About that balcony, I've been thinking about it. I love simplicity in the house of God. You know what I mean? I have ideas about it being white and bright in there and, you know, no darkness in there. Maybe beautiful cherry wood and, you know, I mean, why not? If we're going for it, let's go for it, right? The chief point in every decision we make is to wait for the Master's voice. And once you hear it, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. The rough ride of life is never so sweet as when omniscience, omnipotence, and infinite love are all leading the way. So, well, Pastor, you act like this Christian walk in your life is now trouble in my way. Every day, trouble in my way. But my confidence is in my God. I'm trusting Him, the living God, the God of the covenant, the God of the mercy seat, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the reconciliation of the blood. This God I'm trusting. He has so loved me that He gave Himself for me. And I'm trusting Him. When you know what God wants you to do, don't hurry, but don't hesitate. When I know what God wants me to do, what I actually do, you see, I've been planning on this a long time. I would say 14 years ago, I went out to get in my car. It was dark. It was night. I went out to my car, and I just felt so urged to do this. Lord, I claim this. I believe You want us to have it. I'm trusting You. Now, that was a long time ago. And to be quite frank with you, I thought I stumped my toe several times in 14 years. I thought, that must not be. And then God began to bring it back around. You know, God doesn't get in a hurry. You do know that, right? And then I began to plot and plan and scheme and ask the Lord and to tell people. And finally, to bring it before You. I want to stop with this. In this chapter, God tells the people this. Sanctify yourself. He didn't say, I'm going to sanctify you. You have some responsibility, and so do I. So sanctify yourself. Be thinking about holy ways and holy things. I've been accused a lot of not believing in holiness, but my God is holy. I believe in holiness. As best we can, holy thoughts. Like, I hope some of you are sitting here saying something like this. You know, what can I do? How, Lord, should I separate myself and give to this cause? How can I help? Or maybe it's just, who do I know? Uncle, aunt, somebody that God would use you to speak to about helping, and those dollars come and God's way comes through that. You know, God, He's full of surprises. I love God's surprises, don't you? And I know right now he's saying, I got a surprise for you. And Hayden always goes, what is it? Sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow I'm going to do wonders. I'll tell you what's going to carry us through this. You're going to see things that's going to blow your mind. And you're going to remember today's message. And you're going to say things like this. He told us. I wish Herb was here. This is Herb Minnis, who's out there somewhere. He used to have such a clear mind, and he used to be able to express to me, you know, when you bought that little house over there on Seneca, we all thought you were crazy. When you would say, one day we're going to own this street, I thought you had lost your mind. And that little dumpy house should have been tore down. If you saw pictures of it, you would know. Humanly speaking, should have been. And now look. Look. I'm not saying at all that I'm a prophet. I do know his voice when I hear it. I do. And I know that he takes frail, spotted men and calls them to preach. And then he gives them the message. And then he leads them and makes them shepherds over people. You see, if you're a member of this church, I'm your shepherd, whether you like it or not. You're stuck. Only one time in 50 years, but it happened right out here in the parking lot. I said, as your pastor, I've got to tell you this. She said, I'm firing you. First time I ever got fired. I was fired as her pastor. Now, the only way to get rid of me is you got to fire me as your pastor, because I don't want you to be my pastor. But otherwise, for the most part, you're obligated to listen. Because God speaks through His preachers. He really does. And your spirit will bear witness with my spirit. I just ask you this. Pray about it. Just pray about it and see if we don't hook up about this. And you get excited about it. And then just think about this. What I can foresee. I don't know how much longer I have here on this earth. But I do know this. One day, I'm going to see the kingdom of God happening over there in that building. I'm going to see people saved. Can you imagine 1,000 people in that building? I can. And not to have a crowd just to have a crowd, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, say, 800 former addicts that God had brought out of darkness into light? See, you know, as we get Pontiac cleaned up, maybe we'll think about Birmingham. I just suspect there's some sinners over in Birmingham, don't you? I just suspect there are. Some people that need to be saved and born again. And I know, I know this. I know people to some degree, and I think there are people who know the Lord, but they say things about like this to me. I know it's hard for you over there. All of that sin. And I'm praying for you, brother. I think I'm praying for you. Your church is deader than a doornail. And I wouldn't go there if I was out there. I'd come someplace like this. I want to see God doing something, don't you? I want to see Him doing something. And you cannot come here and see what's going on here without saying something going on there that's absolutely miraculous. I don't know how they're doing it. I do. You know, like this. You know this. Every morning when I get up, I need $25,000 to keep Grace Centers of Hope going. How would you like to have that on you every morning? But you know what I've learned to do? Not take it for granted. But Jehovah will provide. And He has provided and provided, just like that beef we got yesterday. Woo, y'all are going to be eating good for over there at the mission for a while. And we're going to talk about, we may have to share some. There's a lot of food over there. Wonder if there's any ribs, Brother Gilroy. Might be some ribs over there. All right, let's stand and praise Him together.